and welcome to Books in the Biz for round three, because for whatever reason, technology sucks.
Technology's great when it actually works.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And heaven forbid we actually have technology cooperate with us today. So Alice decided first go around that she wanted to do multiple sessions of her intro, which makes it interesting. We should have procrastinated this episode, Rich, because that's what it was all about anyway. And that might have actually helped us here.
That would have worked.
Well, anyway, Rich, welcome. We are live for the third time. And hopefully, as people are watching this, they're not hearing rogue commercials and Alice and everything else. And we're going to get this straight one way or the other. But how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in
Excellent.
There.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, good. I am doing well myself. And we came into this episode before everything went haywire. And we had talked yesterday about, you know, what we could talk about today. And what we realized is we both have run into some situations within the last several weeks where we've talked with people that probably needed to do something, but for whatever reason had put it off. And both of us thought that it might be a good idea to talk about procrastination and all the things that it entails, and often why procrastination becomes a very costly mistake, especially in business. So what's your thoughts on that, Rich?
I think, you know, procrastination to me, because I was always a procrastinator, right? Go back to college, I was a procrastinator, you know, the report was due on Friday. On Thursday night, I was typing it.
At least I wasn't alone. There's other people like me.
So I get it, right? And the thing is, I think you can kind of equate procrastination is sort of at least what everybody perceives as the easier path. It's I don't have to hit that brick wall. I can just kind of put it off and see how things go and see if it gets a little easier. Maybe some of it will go away, which it never does. But you know, you always think that there's a reason to keep putting it off because maybe something better will come along or maybe something easier will happen. But it doesn't always happen. And in today's day and age, I really don't think it's happening. So I think to a certain extent, I'm trying very hard on my own side to, you know, clear out the cobwebs and the old, what did they used to call it? They used to call it head trash.
Yep.
You got to dump the head trash, and the head trash is the procrastination nature that's already in your head.
Yeah, I had a colleague once that said procrastination equates to fear. And I partially agree with that. I think there are certain times where we procrastinate out of fear of something. Medical. So we talked about medical a couple of weeks ago in my situation. You know, you want to put off something because you fear what you might learn, because what you might learn might not be a positive outcome. And I think that's true in business sometimes. We tend to put off things that, you know, might be negatively impacting what we're doing internally, might be negatively impacting our employees, thinking that it will fix itself or go away. And then all of a sudden we have an employee that gets frustrated and leaves, and they're a key individual. And now we're panicking like, oh my gosh, what happened? Well, it's because you didn't take care of this or you didn't take care of that. So I think there is some truth to the fear thing there. But I also, as I was thinking this morning, I put a post up on LinkedIn about it. You know, it's really become more than that. Because we become so accessible, we also procrastinate things because we just don't want to deal with them. And you and I were talking actually before we went live here on the number of emails that you were getting today and why you were getting all these emails and going through and deleting. And I look at it and go, well, I'm kind of the same way too, because I'll get several hundred emails in a day. And part of the procrastination is I just don't want to deal with it. A, because I don't know who they are. So there's that level of trust you have in whatever emails you're getting. B, it's just flat out spam. So it's just ticking you off and you don't want to deal with it that way either. So I think there's other elements now that causes us to procrastinate, because we're a lot more accessible now than we were even 10 years ago. And I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but that's kind of what I'm seeing here with my own procrastination, because I believe we all procrastinate. You still procrastinate. I still procrastinate. We put things off for whatever reason. And it's a lot more work to analyze what's causing that procrastination now than maybe it was a while back.
Yeah, I think more accessibility, you know, being more accessible, being out there, you know, when I was really a procrastinator, there was no email. We didn't have cell phones, right? There was none of that. Now everything's moving at 1,000 times faster than it was when I was really developing that procrastination, you know, expertise. But, you know, when I look at it now too, that availability or that accessibility, you know, couples the fact that the world moving that much faster and, you know, outside influence is a much bigger factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1992, when I was coming out of college, I wasn't thinking about world events. You know, I wasn't thinking about, oh, my president's going to sign a whole bunch of bills today or executive orders today.
Yeah.
All that, I mean, that stuff hits you 27 times a day. And that doesn't even necessarily come through your email. So that outside influence added to what you said, you know, is a bigger kind of push to put it off because you don't know what's going on, because you're not 100% sure, because you can't take enough time to read all those 27 posts, emails, everything that leads to everything that just happened in the world. And you don't have a chance to evaluate it because 27 things just came through, but 27 of them probably don't have any influence on you, but you're allowing it to.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You know, we are kind of what you said there at the end. We are all so busy because work is now where it used to be just sitting at your desk doing a task, or if you're in manufacturing, just working on the machine, whatever it might be. You now have emails, you now have phone calls, you now have technology. All this stuff has kind of exponentially ramped itself up because, like we said earlier, we've become much more accessible. And it's become harder, I believe, for us to kind of discern what are the things we should respond to versus what are the things we shouldn't. And now, because we are so busy, we tend to put off important things, you know, looking at this from a business perspective instead of a personal one. You might know there's things you need to address in your business, but it's working fine right now. I'll let it go because I've got 10 other things I need to focus on instead of that one thing that might be direct, you know, indirectly impacting a future event. Like I said about the employee getting upset and then finally quitting. You know, how many times have we seen that happen where you see high turnover because an employee can't speak to their boss? There's no coaching there. There's nothing to give them feedback. So they get frustrated and they're like, well, I'll go to the next job to get my feedback or my next growth opportunity because I'm not getting it here. And that's, you know, me on the operations side, that's what I often hear it when there's a lot of turnover happening, is because nobody bothered to talk to that individual. And when you talk to the manager, the leader, the owner, they're like, well, I don't have time because I'm doing 10 other things. Yeah. They should just figure it out. Well, guess what? They don't want that, especially Gen Z and Gen X and the millennials. Gen X, we can say they're pretty self-sufficient. They don't need a lot of handholding, but millennials and Gen Zs do. And this is where you see that higher turnover, or where you see that, you know, flat performance happening, because people will do just what they need to do when they're not getting feedback otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, when you get stuck and you're getting into doing the actual tasks all day long, you can really forget what your overall approach was, what your overall style was. You forget what your, from a business standpoint, what your overall business, you know, what you're attempting to actually get out there. So, mm-hmm. You know, you wind up in a very, very small subset of what you're trying to do. And you forget that the company was supposed to be growing this way. And the only way you can grow this way is to have that team behind you, you know. And it's very easy for founders, for, you know, business owners, for people to get to a point where they just get so overloaded that they forget the overall mission. And then they wind up, and I say this from personal experience, you wind up thinking you're the only one who could do it. And you basically run into that I, and you stop saying we, because you're no longer thinking that the team is what's going to get you the overall mission accomplished, you know, sort of sticker.
Exactly.
So I think, you know, we have to figure out, how do we get past that? How do we stop? Because if procrastination is just the easiest way I can think of, that's going to get you into that rut, you know, and somehow you have to break that rut. You have to get out of that rut and get back to, you know, what was I about in the beginning? What was I about to keep growing? You know, otherwise it's just going to be 10 people on your team sitting around doing nothing while you're doing 100,000 things. And then you're just getting angry.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I see a lot of times, because I have yet to talk to a business owner that says they're never busy. You know, every business owner I talk to is, I don't have time for this, or I don't have time for that. Yep. And I think a lot of that comes to, again, some of the decisions that they're making. And there is a certain level with business owners where I think they actually enjoy that busyness, even if that busyness isn't as productive as it could be, because it makes them feel needy or needed, and it makes them feel like they have purpose. So doesn't it feel good when people come to you to ask questions? Well, when you got 50 employees and all 50 employees are coming to you to ask questions, in the beginning, it might feel nice. Over time, it might become frustrating, because it seems like you can never get any of your own stuff done. And that's what I often see on the operations side. Now, I'm curious, because you deal with a lot more of the financial issues within business. And while I deal with that kind of from a third party standpoint, I got to believe there's a lot of procrastination that happens on the financial side that most people don't realize they're doing, that cause all sorts of potential challenges over time when they're not addressing certain financial issues. I mean, what are you seeing on your end? Because let's face it, most business owners might understand the finance side a little bit, but they're not all experts in finance or in cash flow and whatnot, and that causes problems internally.
I think that it's a little bit of a loaded question, because depending on the size of the business and the volume of transactions that are happening, there's a little bit of a variation in how I would answer that question. The way smaller entities, you know, your main guy, your founder, your CEO, whatever you want to call that, you know, head person, you know, they tend to look at sales and receivables and their cash account. They'll never talk to you about payables. They'll never talk to you about what they owe, bills that have to be paid, you know, unless the cash balance is too low and they know that there's a bill he's got to pay and it's not, you know, it's not collected.
Right.
So now they come back to you and they say, hey, we have to go collect that bill because I got to pay this other bill, you know? So the focus is a little bit kind of smaller. Right? Mm-hmm. As they get bigger, then they have to find a way to pivot, because now you have to look at the whole, you know,
right?
Because you might be going for a bank loan or bringing in an investor. And now those people are asking for very specific questions about the whole and not just receivables and sales.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they want to know bottom line, where a business owner who only talks about receivables and sales doesn't know his bottom line.
Right.
He can't tell you his bottom line. So when you start getting to that next level, you have to pivot. You have to actually find a way to get to that next level. And I think at that point, that's where your example of, you know, one owner with 50 people coming straight to him, you know, probably a really simple picture to say, that was the time to say, we have to reconstruct the company, or we have to, you know, reorganize a bit.
Right.
Because not everybody can get into the owner if the owner is going to be relied on to grow the company and have those people have, you know, have goals within the company.
Yeah. Well, but here's also what I see. And again, this is the operations side, but I think it also ties to your end on the financial side. People tend to put off things that are an investment, that are going to cost money, whether it's individual training, leadership training, whether it's buying that new piece of equipment. I think sometimes people wait maybe too long to make that investment. They don't do an ROI assessment on it. And then the old piece of equipment breaks down and now you got to scramble to get a new one. Well, as you know, if now you have to buy something last minute, that price is no longer something that can be worked out. It's usually you need to get it now and you're going to pay a premium because now they need to bring that component in right away. And that requires more resources to do that quickly. And that's kind of what I see from the operations side, where people kind of put off different things because they perceive there's a bigger investment involved. Then something blows up and now all of a sudden they're spending five times what they were, because now it's instead of urgent, but not urgent, but important, it's now urgent and important and it needs to be taken care of.
Right. Yes, that does cross over. I think, you know, the equipment part, our examples would be exactly the same.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is too, you know, when I was reading an article the other day and somebody had written down that, you know, you're expanding your company, you're growing your company, and all of a sudden you run out of money. And you're like, how, if I'm growing and growing and growing, how did I run out of money? It's like you needed to actually sit down and say, this is the way it works, because all those new big clients that you brought in have longer terms. Mm-hmm. So they're not paying you up front. They're not paying you in 30 days. Maybe they're paying you in 90 days.
Right.
Maybe their industry is a 90-day pay. Now, you hired people or hired more people to take care of that account. They don't wait 90 days to get paid.
Right.
So if there's a spread, you needed to be prepared for that and you weren't. You know,
yep.
A lot of times people were not prepared for that. You know, it's going to take 90 days to get the money in, but I got to pay people now. So that's either a banking issue, a cash flow issue. Like, you have to figure out how you're going to cover that spread. And if you haven't figured that out, don't wait till you're already in the throes of I can't cover. Because now try to see who's going to give you any money. Who's
right.
going to loan you a dollar if you don't actually, like, if you actually need it, nobody wants to loan you the money because the risk factor goes way up. So there's definitely a correlation there that, you know, when you have these things come up, finance, you know, you need to be doing things in advance.
Yeah.
And if you've only been a reactive person, it's time to become proactive. And that's a hard switch.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, it's good that you brought that up, because I was actually talking with a banker last week about that exact same thing, that they were meeting with the client. And it's a good client. Client has decent cash flow, but they're heavily leveraged. And now they're trying to invest in new equipment and whatnot, and they can't do it because the banker's looking at, you know, how heavily they're already tied up as far as what their expenses are. And to do anything to kind of reset that, you know, at one point he kind of said, well, you know, they have physical assets like property. Well, you know, can we put that on the property and do a refinance there? And now we can stretch those payments out over 30 years or 20 years. But the problem is you're taking a short-term asset, you're tying it to a long-term asset, and the problem's going to now pop. It's a short-term solution because in a couple of years, they're going to still be buying more equipment. And now they've used up all that equity in their property and they can't do that again. So they're in the same problem all over again.
Right.
And you brought up a good point. You know, how many businesses in that growth phase don't realize that the terms change or that the cash flow changes. And now they get in the situation where they're upside down. So yes, they're going fine, but they haven't planned for that. Now they're in a situation where they can't grow and ultimately is going to start going the opposite direction again, because they'll level off and they'll start regressing because the money's not coming in as fast as it's going out.
Right.
So what are some of the recommendations that you would have to overcome the procrastination part? Because as I said, we all do it. We're all going to continue doing it. What do you do to get over that hurdle?
I think it's going to sound philosophical, but I think But I think the thing that you have to do, and it's something that I kind of had to do, I keep having to refocus myself on the end goal, on the overall goal that I'm trying to achieve. What am I trying to accomplish? Because if I let that go, I wind up going back to taking on smaller projects or just thinking that I have to do that. And instead of being focused on, you know, I can get somebody to do that smaller project if I stay focused on this bigger project. So I think it's a focus issue for me. I think if more people would focus on this is what I have to accomplish and this is what I want to do, then I think the rest of the stuff that is leading towards the procrastination kind of goes away, or at least goes into the back of your mind as opposed to allowing it to get in the front. And then you realize, well, I spent all this time on this little project and the big one sat. To me, that's procrastination. You didn't either. You didn't want to get to it, or you allowed something else to get in front of it. And I think that that's really where my challenge says that people just have to stay focused on what you're trying to accomplish overall. You know, that old saying about the 50,000 foot view, you know, if you're running the company, you've got to be at the 50,000 foot view.
And so many owners are more at the 500 foot view. They're really kind of in day-to-day operations in the weeds, where often they don't see those problems, because let's face it, a lot of these issues don't just pop up right away. It's over a period of weeks, months, years before it finally comes to a head and where it needs to be addressed with. And if you're not at that 50,000 foot view where you can take that long-term look and start realizing where some of those issues are going to come up, that's when you get into some of the problems that you were talking about, especially with things like cash flow, employee issues, equipment issues, growth issues, you name it. That's where this all comes in. You know, from my standpoint, it is getting to that 50,000 foot view, and it's doing an ROI assessment. It's going through and saying, what's the value of acting on this now versus waiting? Because, again, we're all going to procrastinate. Nothing's going to change. There's always going to be situations where, for whatever reason, we can't act now. Maybe we do need to act later, but we need to make a determination if there's value in taking action right now. And that really requires just a few, you know, asking yourself a few simple questions. What happens if I put this off? What's going to be the cost to doing that? If something breaks, you know, in the next week, month, year, is it going to be far more expensive than if I did the maintenance procedures on it? What's the safety issues related to it? Could it possibly injure somebody? You know, I'm talking a lot about equipment here because of manufacturing and construction and whatnot. But those are issues that I think we often put off on the back burner and just hope things will be fine. But then all of a sudden something goes wrong and somebody gets hurt, or a machine fails to the point where it now needs to be replaced, and now you're replacing it again because whoever that distributor or that equipment manufacturer is realizes they need to get that equipment to you right away. They're going to charge you a premium to do that, to get you back up and running. So you kind of have to understand that and realize it. And to me, that's where anytime you can take kind of a self-assessment of your business is going to be helpful, and it should be done at least once every 2 years, in my opinion. You might say sooner, but I would say at least once every 2 years, you need to be asking yourself some of these questions and analyzing it. You know, you and I have kind of talked about the 20 questions rule. So if everyone's heard of the game 20 questions, well, you and I have been going into companies now and saying, well, what's our 20 questions that we need to ask to help these owners determine what are some of the pitfalls, the roadblocks, the issues that could come up, and help them prioritize. And, you know, with anyone who's listening to this, if this is something that's important to you, this is also a service we offer pro bono to anyone who wants to jump on this. It's a half hour procedure, maybe 45 minutes when we get through the questions, and we'll give you a brief report saying, okay, based on here, you know, what we discovered, here's where your biggest opportunities are at. And if we can, we'll even put some cost behind it. And that's really something, you know, you don't need us to do it per se, but you definitely need to take yourself through a process like that.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. So, If they want to go through that process with us, how's the best way to get a hold of us, Rich?
Send me an email, rich@xcxo.net.
And you can do the same to me, dan@xcxo.net. You want to learn a little bit more about XCXO? Bob will take us out. Hopefully Bob will do this once and not six different times over and over again. And we will talk to you next week.
Take care, Dan.
Take care.
Want to boost your sales and profits, but need the talent to help you grow? XCXO is a one-of-a-kind platform to find skilled fractional executives to help develop your team into a high-performance powerhouse. Fractional leadership is a great choice when you consider the average executive-level candidate can cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars in salaries, benefits, and incentives. XCXO finds you the executive and utilizes their talents to build your team's experience, all for a fraction of the cost of a full-time C-suite leader. Contact XCXO today to fill the gaps in your leadership team. Visit xcxo.net to learn more.